Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 59. In the last Perek, Yeshayahu told the people that Hashem wants them to do tshuva, not just to fast. If they give tzedakah, they will get a reward in this world. If they do tshuva, they will get a reward in this world and the next. If they do tshuva and elevate their Shabbos observance, then they will get a reward without boundaries in this world and in the next world. We will be learning this parak primarily with the commentary of the Radak, as well as some other Mefarshim. The Radak stands for Rav David Kimchi, who was a Rishon who lived during the early Middle Ages from 1160 to 1235 in France. His father was Rabbi Yosef Kimchi, a famous scholar in Spain who moved to France because of religious persecution. The Radak's commentary on Nach is considered fundamental for studying any section of Nach and includes explanations of both the context, the interpretation, pshat, and drash, as well as grammar. This perek follows the previous prakim. In the last perek, the people complained that Hashem was punishing them, although they did not deserve it. They had fasted, but Hashem did not seem to acknowledge what they were doing because the enemies were attacking. They wondered why this was happening. Yeshayahu assures them that, Pasuk 1, Hein lo katzra yad Hashem mehoshia. Hashem's hand is not short, meaning Hashem is not too weak to save the Jewish people from their enemies if he so chose. V'lo chavda azno mishmoa. His ears are not too heavy, not to be able to listen to their tefilos. The problem is not in Hashem, but in the people, as their fasting was not true to Shuvah. The problem is, Pasuk 2, ki im avonosechem hayu mavdilin. Your sins are what is separating between you and Hashem. V'chatoseichem histiru panim mikem mishmoa. And your sins are what is causing Hashem to hide his face from you and preventing him from listening to you. It is as if there is a wall that is separating between Hashem from his people, and this wall is built from their sins. The Malbim clarifies that this pasuk is describing two different kinds of sins. There are people who are doing avonos. These people have denied Hashem. This creates a barrier from Hashem to the people and from the people to Hashem, and so they cannot connect on any level. Then there are chata'im, sins that are driven by moral weakness and desire. These sins cause Hashem's face to be hidden from the people, which leads to Hashem not listening to their prayerful cries. Hashem is still connected to them. He is just not attentive to their cries because of their sins. Yeshayahu then begins to list the sins that are the manifestations of these two root causes, the lack of belief and the giving in to desire. Yeshayahu tells the Jewish people that they were immoral in both action and in speech. They were violent, they murdered and got into physical altercations. They lied and said evil things. There was no hope that society would change as the relationships between people had no integrity. Pasuk 4, Ein korei v'tzedek, no one calls in righteousness. No one calls out their friends with appropriate rebuke, so nobody is going to change from peer pressure. Ve'ein nishpat b'emuna. No one judges faithfully. Even the judges who are appointed to make sure that society is going in the proper direction, these judges have corrupted their judgment to do what is expedient for themselves personally, rather than worrying about society as a whole. People give poor advice to friends, thinking no one will find out, even though Hashem knows, and therefore the friends aren't even dependable. As a result, haro amal v'holid aven. It is as if they had been pregnant with their evil plans, and that led to them giving birth to sin. Yeshayahu says a descriptive analogy of their actions. Pasuk 5, Beitzei tzifoni bikeu. They hatch the eggs of poisonous snakes. Yeshayahu is going to expand upon this mashal to understand what happens because these poisonous snakes hatch. The eggs are going to represent the evil thoughts of man. At first, the evil thoughts stay contained in a person's mind, but they keep pushing a person to act. Just like a poisonous snake inside a shell will keep moving and cause the eggshell to break, and eventually the poisonous snake will come out of the shell and impact those around it, the evil thoughts will push on the person until they are turned into deed. When these thoughts are brought into action, they kill. Then ha'ochel mibitzei hamyamus, the one who eats these eggs, die. The one who does the evil deeds because of their thoughts faces the repercussions of the poison that they have introduced into their system. V'hazoret tibaka efe, and the egg that is crushed comes out with a viper. The viper will then turn and bite the person who crushed the egg, allowing the viper to escape. The one who lets the evil thought become reality gets hurt by the deed which results. Another mashal in the pasuk is that they weave using spider's webs. Just like a spider's web is not a regular thread that can be woven into cloth, evil actions will not help a person at all. They are not sustainable. These evildoers who listen to their evil thoughts are noted for their passion and quick action. Pasuk 7, Raglehem lara yarutsu vayamaharu lishpoch dam naki. Their feet run to do bad, and they hurry to shed innocent blood. The mob notes that it is as if their legs are running, not the people that are running. The people have become so accustomed to doing the wrong thing, it is now habitual, and their legs take them to do the wrong thing automatically. And then, when they come to the place where they're about to sin, they do not hesitate, but will immediately murder with not a second thought of remorse. Why are they so evil? The answer is, once again, machshvoseihem machshvos aven. Their thoughts are evil thoughts, and as a result, everywhere they turn, they leave behind desolation and destruction. These people, Pasuk 8, derech shalom lo yoda'u. They don't know how to have a path of peace. They've never tried peace as an option. Their way of acting is corrupt and always trying to force their will on others. Anyone who follows them will be corrupted and will also have no peace. The Maimonides says that the people are always fighting with other people or other nations, as they do not have justice driving their decisions, which causes conflict. And they also have no internal peace, as their souls are constantly agitated to do the wrong thing. Psukim 9 to 15 is the people's response and admission to what they have done wrong. They recognize that they are indeed in galus. Because they did not act with mishpat or tzedakah, they are not going to be treated by Hashem with mishpat or tzedakah. Pasuk 9, Nikavel or v'hine choshech, l'nikos ba'afelos nehalech. We look for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in gloom. They want more out of life, but they don't know how to access it. They compare themselves to blind men stumbling about, trying to find their way, using the wall for support. They compare the darkness that they're facing to the darkness of the grave. While they are blind themselves, they also recognize that they do not have anyone to lead them to the right path and out of their darkness. They fight against this darkness. Pasuk 11, Ne'me hadubim kulanu, v'chayonim hagon hege. We growl like bears and mourn like doves. Rav Schwab says that there are times in history when the Jewish people are like bears. They growl with confidence and might, trying to get out of galus. Other times they are like doves, weak and vulnerable. In either state, Hashem does not save them. They admit, Pasuk 12, Ki rabu fisha'enu negdecha, v'chatosenu ansabanu. We have many transgressions before you, and our sins testify against us. They admit that they have sinned and that what has happened was their responsibility. They further acknowledge that they did not allow justice to exist in society. Pasuk 14, Behusag achor mishpat. They have turned justice back, as they did not allow it to have a place among them. Utztaka merachok ta'amod, and tztaka stands from far away. The Radak explains exactly what tzedakah is and why it impacted their society so greatly. Tzedakah has two parts. First, it is to give or lend money to a poor person, what we would call charity. Second, it means to do kindness and act with refined character to other people, whether they are rich or poor, with speech or with action. Tzedakah has an element of elevated behavior where we treat all of humanity with kindness that extends beyond charity. In addition to there not being tzedakah, it is as if in their society, ki chashla berachov emes, unechocha lo sucha lavo. Truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot come in. They recognize that they lie, are hypocritical, and flatter those who should be shunned. People who are honest and upright are not found in the street among other people. They are forced into hiding by their corrupt society. The Mesudas David adds that the people acknowledge that because they do not have justice, tzedakah, or truth, then Hashem will not bring justice to the other nations or treat them with kindness either. What are the worst parts of their society? Pasuk 15, Vatihi ha'emes ne'ederes. It is as if truth has disappeared. It is not found in their society as a core value. Vayar Hashem ve'ira b'inav ki'im mishpat. And Hashem saw this, and it displeased him that there was no justice. There is a principle that people can sin, but then Hashem will delay punishments as long as there's no corruption in society. In the time of the Mabul, there were many problems. However, the decree for the Mabul was not sealed until there was Hamas, until there was wanton and rampant robbery. This happens to the Jewish people as well. Psukim 16-21 discusses the salvation that comes once society has fallen so far. Pasuk 16, Vayar ki ein ish ve'yishtomeim ki ein mafkia. Hashem sees that there is no person, and he is astonished that there is no one praying to him for help. There is no one in society who can do tshuva. So instead, Hashem, batosha lo zro'o, ditzit kaso, hi simachas hu. As a result, Hashem himself, with his own arm, brought salvation to him, and with his tzedakah, it sustained him. The salvation will not come because of any merits on the part of the people. Rather, it will only be a gift from Hashem. The Radak explains what this pasuk means. There is a pasuk in Parashas Nitzavim that says that when the Jewish people do tshuva, Hashem will bring the geula. However, there is another pasuk which contradicts this idea by saying that the geula will come in the merit of the avos. Chazal wonder if tshuva is needed for geula or not. They explain that there are two options for when Mashiach will come. Either the generation will be kulo chayav, completely guilty, or kulo zakai, completely meritorious. When Chazal say that an entire generation is guilty, they do not mean that there are no tzaddikim in the generation, as Hashem has promised that no generation will ever be bereft completely of righteous individuals. Rather, the generation with its leaders do not have enough merit to bring the geula. Pasuk 16 is talking about the generation where there is no one with enough merits to bring the geula. Hashem will need to begin the process of geula, as there is nothing that will allow Mashiach to come otherwise. Once the Jews start to see the beginning signs of geula, then the majority of the people will do teshuva. Hashem will have two tools by which he brings the geula, which are referred to in Pasuk 17 as his clothing. Hashem will don staka to protect and save the Jewish people. And he will use vengeance, nekama, and kina, zealousness, to fight against the nations. The tzedakah is compared to armor, and the salvation is called a helmet, while the vengeance and zeal, the nakama and kina, are called clothing. Salvation is compared to accessories, a hat or armor, because these are removed after the battle. Salvation will only be needed as tools until the Jews are back in Israel and the war of Gog Umagog is fought. In contrast, nekama and kina, vengeance and zealousness against the nations, are like clothing that will always be worn by Hashem for all time. There will need to be justice for all those who hurt the Jews for as long as the world exists. Hashem will pay back the nations, Pasuk 18, ka'al gemulos ka'al yishalem chemel etzarav. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries. Just like Hashem was zealous and paid back Paro and Sancheriv and the rest of the enemies of Israel throughout history, this is what will happen when the Jews leave Galus also. Hashem will pay back those who hurt the Jewish people wherever they are, and they will fear Hashem mima'arav from the west and mimizrach from the east. Yeshayahu adds further that the Geula will only come to the Jewish people, Pasuk 19, ki avo chanahar tzar ruach Hashem nosisavo, when distress is coming like a flooding river, which the breath of Hashem drives. Chazal say that the Geula will come when the troubles from the nations will be overwhelming, like a river flooding the Jewish people. This will also happen during the different stages of Geula. After the Jews return to Yerushalayim, they will still be attacked by Gog Umagog. The whole world will join up against the Jews to attack them, which will be the final stage before there will be peace. Rav Schwab looked at the story of Yaakov Avinu sending gifts to Esav as a model for how life in Galus will be. When Yaakov sent gifts to Esav, he left space in between the flocks he was sending as gifts to symbolize that there would always be a break between the hard times in Galus. When it seems like things are moving so fast and the troubles keep coming with no break or chance to recover, that is the sign that Geula is close at hand. At this time, Pasuk 20, Uvalitzion Goel Ushave Pesha Biyakov Nuhum Hashem, and a Redeemer will come to Tzion, to those that do tshuva from sin in Yaakov, says Hashem. When the Jewish people see how Hashem saves them from Gog Umagog, when the salvation is coming, is beginning, then everyone will do teshuva. This brings the parak full circle. At the beginning of the perek, the people questioned if Hashem could save them. At the end of the perek, Yeshayahu promises that Hashem will indeed save them. The perek concludes with a vision of the Geula, Pasuk 21, Vani zos brisi osam amar Hashem, and as for me, this is my covenant with them, says Hashem. This covenant is Ruchi asher alecha udvarai asher samti v'ficha. My spirit is on you, meaning nevuah, the words that I put into your mouth, which, according to the father of the Radak, the Torah, lo yamushu mipicha umipi zaracha umipi zera zaracha amar Hashem me'atavir olam. The words of the Torah and the words of the nevuah will not leave your mouth or the mouths of your children or the mouths of your children's children, says Hashem, from now until forever. In the times of the Geula, there will once again be nevuah, and the Torah will be learned by the Jewish people forever and ever. In this perek, Yeshayahu tells the people that Hashem is not listening to them because of their sins, both that they deny Hashem and those sins driven by moral weakness. They have no mishpat or tzedakah. Society is corrupt, and there is a lack of truth. The people will acknowledge their part in their distance from Hashem. The Geula will finally come when society has fallen so far that they need Hashem's help. During the Geula, Hashem will save them and will also avenge the actions of the other nations. In the time of the Geula, Nevuah will return and the people will study Torah. There is an important lesson in this perek. The perek emphasizes that our thoughts, intentions, and plans create our reality. If we focus on negativity and things that irritate us, those thoughts will give us no rest. They will push us until we act. This kind of thinking will mean that we will never have peace. Neither peace with others nor peace of mind. Even worse, if chas v'shalom, a person spends his time thinking thoughts which are against Hashem, those thoughts are what create a barrier, almost a wall between him and Hashem so he cannot connect. There is another lesson in this perek, which is that Hashem treats us how we treat others. This awareness can help us change our behavior every day. If we are upset at someone, can we cut them slack knowing that we need Hashem to cut us some slack? Whenever we want to fight for our rights or make others face consequences, we should pause and think, do I have anything I need Hashem to be a little more flexible with me right now? Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Bracha Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.